there's several things that are actually what I call megatrends that are changing the situation on water in this country and worldwide. And one is probably the biggest megatrend is population growth is driving it. And it's, in the United States, we've been growing at better than 1% per year. And if you project out just from population growth alone in 20 to 30 years, the United States will need to increase the amount of water supply by 30 to 60% over what it currently uses. And that's an incredible growth rate. And the 30% is if we did conservation measures. And each individual used 60% less water in their homes, and we used 30% less energy than we're currently using. We use 20% less for agriculture. We still have to grow it.
And that's in a nation that, compared to the rest of the world, is growing fairly slowly.
Yeah, in particular, compared to Asia and Africa and other, not necessarily Africa, certain parts of the Middle East, et cetera, are growing at incredible rates. So population growth is a major trend. The other major trend is that because of population and the growth and the impact on the environment, lots more water that was currently before it was clean and we could just use from is becoming contaminated. So more of that water needs to be treated now and where it didn't have to be treated before, which really then drives this whole issue that we need to purify water more.
And the pollution in some cases isn't the type of pollution we think of, you know, contaminants, industrial pollution, that sort of thing, but also saltwater.
Oh, yes. Saltwater is definitely a major issue, particularly if you're along the coastlines where you're pumping water out of aquifers. It begins to intrude into the aquifer and make it salty. In fact, where I grew up, I grew up on well water. And where my parents, you know, purchased their place back in the 1950s. And they've had to drop their well deeper and deeper. And they now have a reverse osmosis unit underneath their sink because their water is so salty. And that's in the Bay Area.
So, okay, that's out in California, but here in Illinois, we always think we've got an ample water supply. We're in the Great Lakes region. We've got these huge, deep aquifers. Why should people in Illinois be concerned about these trends?
Well, interestingly, most people think, oh, the problems are in the West. The problems are in the Southwest. Well, in Illinois, we have some of the most critical problems facing the entire nation, and it's particularly around the Great Lakes in the collar counties of Chicago, where the aquifers are being pumped, and these are what we call alluvial or glacial aquifers, and they are fossil water. They were left when the glaciers receded, and these are not terribly replenishable. They replenish very slowly, and they're pumping them out so deep that as you get deeper and deeper, you go into salt water, which is underneath all the fresh water. And so communities like around the Chicago area, as well as communities in San Antonio, communities in all along the Gulf Coast, et cetera, are finding that their water is getting saltier.
You don't think of that when you're miles, you know, thousands of miles away from a coast.
That's absolutely right. There's salt water that underlies the entire continent. And in fact, there's more salt water in underlying the United States than there is fresh water. And so the amount of salt water that is there is amazing. It's different salt water than seawater, but it's hard salts like you get when you run your sink a lot and you see these white compounds that come around it.
So what do we do? What is being done now, and how is it lacking as far as, you know, those trends of population and saltier water and pollution and all that?
Well, these trends are like all converging on each other. And what this means is that there will be less and less water available for us. And to clean it up, we have to start treating it. We have to spend a lot more money. And so it's not out of the realm of possibilities that in just 20 years, the average American will see his or her water bill every month increase by more than $100 a month from what they're currently paying. This is, if you think that's outrageous and it's impossible to believe, it's already happening in lots of places throughout the United States.
So what kinds of technologies are out there that are trying to address this increasing cost of purifying saltier and more polluted, more contaminated water?
Well, if we just do things the way we currently do it, mm-hmm. it's really expensive, and it will cost between 4 to 8 to maybe even 10 times more than what we're currently using to treat water, which is in itself a problem because that uses lots of energy and it uses lots of chemicals, and that energy and chemicals themselves are a problem on the environment. So this is really coupled with the environment. So we're looking at all sorts of new technologies that can dramatically drop the amount of energy used, dramatically drop the amount of chemicals used, so that we can restore water, refresh water, reuse water, recover water from salt water at much lower costs. And so there's a lot of people, at least at the University of Illinois and around the country, who are working on new technologies to do that.
So is it the challenge then not only to make it less costly, but also to do it on a scale that it can handle water supplies for large areas?
Well, it's not – yeah, large areas I think is the right term. Uh-huh. Most people think of large populations. They think of, you know, cities. But really, people are distributed all over. And if you can recover water from wells or from local areas and just supply – we call it point source or point use areas – and we have technologies that are suitable for the very small scale, that will address more people than just these really big plants that people are thinking about.
Now, how about making these, you know, cheap enough for not only people in the United States who, you know, pay monthly water bills, but around the world where, you know, just access to water is an issue?
For all the problems in the United States, the problems around the world are far more severe, mm-hmm. particularly in Asia, China, Africa. India. Some of these are the most crucial problems in the world. And even in the European Union, in Southern Europe, they have significant issues with water supply. But in the places, the current ways that we currently clean water, which is very successful, by the way, and environmental engineers and civil engineers have done a superb job over the generations cleaning up water. But these methods really are suited for the industrialized world. 5 out of 6 people on the face of the earth really can't use those methods because they're not anywhere. They don't have energy. They don't have these chemical plants. And so coming up with methods that don't use energy from excess energy or extra energy added from outside, maybe the sun or some normal types of energy used, or the energy that's in water itself, the energy that's in what we call gray or black water. There's a fair amount of energy there. Using that energy and not using additional chemicals. So that could help a huge number of the population. And so there's all sorts of methods that we're developing to do that, from biological methods that use biology to new nanotype technologies that could really change the face of water.
As at the risk of making it a highly scientific discussion, just explain in layman's terms what nanotechnology can do in this particular case, what it is and how you relate it to water purification.
Well, as once it was said to me once, is water is dirt cheap. That's why we use dirt to clean it. And, if we think about it, sand and earth and, right. and clays are used to clean it. Well, clays have lots of, we think of it as just clay, but they have lots of little tiny particles on top of the clay that can absorb species or toxins or can disinfect from pathogens. They can trap things and disinfect it. So really it's these tiny little billionth of a meter, 1,000 times smaller than to 1,000,000 times smaller than a hair. But these are just like little particles that you can place on it. And if we can do it in an intelligent way or find materials that have these properties, such as in mines that are being mined for diamonds in Africa, there's millions, hundreds of millions of different types of these chemicals that are naturally. And if we can find them and use them, then that can change everything.
As a scientist, are you confident that all these technologies can come together in a timely and not quite so costly manner in the future?
That's my biggest fear, actually, is that the United States leads the world in basic science. And yet most of us aren't aware of the problems that we're facing. And so we don't feel a sense of urgency. And if anything we could do is to feel that sense of urgency so that we can get more people working on this around in this country and around the world and building technologies. It actually is a great possible benefit to everyone because there could be new businesses that come out of this. We could clean up the environment. We can make it cleaner. I mean, clean tech is what they're calling it. It's the fastest growing sector. People can get jobs out of this. And if people could start seeing that it could help their lives and they can improve their quality of their life and other people's, then maybe they'll put more emphasis. But it's going to take a lot more effort and not just a little. People have really got to start devoting themselves to this.
One question I had on the side was, is there a risk with all this new technology that it might, and there's been discussion and critiques of how populations are moving into areas that may not be suitable or hospitable to large populations, and thinking, Las Vegas and Phoenix and Dubai and all these very arid desert places. Does the advance in technology make it more attractive to populate in those areas and may cause problems in the future?
That's Could be. Mm-hmm. You know, technologies are by themselves neither good nor bad. They're just technologies, and it's how people will, you know, use those technologies. Hopefully one can work with the local communities so that you can, you know, have the lowest impact on the environment. But people are moving those to those areas in faster and faster amounts, and they're building pipelines and building big pumps and using lots of energy to pump water from long distances, mm-hmm. which lots of people think is not a very wise way to go about it. So if you're looking at the people moving there and there's a better, less impactful way on the environment to supply water, then I think that's for the better.
And while I'm thinking about Dubai, I think isn't it also reliant on desalination quite a bit? How has that technology come along? Are we at the point where that's becoming practical?
Well, I mean, so certain countries, absolutely. The Middle East uses desalination, but for the most part, their energy is free. Mm-hmm. I mean, Saudi Arabia is still flaring off natural gas and these big flares that can be seen by the naked eye by the astronauts. But it's still expensive the way they currently do it. And same thing with Dubai. I mean, they're desalinating. Israel, as a country, has decided to go to 100% desalination, and they're building the entire water system on desalination of seawater. Mm-hmm. And they don't have natural energy sources, but it's cheaper for them because of trying to avoid potential wars with Syria for who controls their water supply.
Are there ecological risks of using desalination on levels like that? I mean, using so much seawater?
Well,
Or are we talking about not much seawater, relatively speaking, anyway?
All humans could supply all their water with seawater if they could without building pipes and all that. The oceans are so vast. All the fresh water on Earth that humans use, we can't get at 97.5% of the water, which is in the seas. The seas are so vast that we and our impact I can't even project out into the future where we could cause any impact on that. Now, locally, there could be some impact just simply because, you know, you don't put big enough diffusers and pipes and things like that. But that's an issue of just engineering and getting people to do the right thing.
Anything else to add?
I just think that I think people will see that water is going to become a bigger and bigger issue, and it's starting to come available. I mean, people are starting to become aware of it more, but in the rest of the world, they're already aware of it in a major way. And what happens in China, what happens in India will affect us, regardless of if you live on a freshwater lake and you have all the water in the world. If China runs out of water, if 1.5 billion people in the world run out of water in the next 20 to 30 years, which may occur because of the melting of the glaciers, so the rivers will become intermittent, we will face problems that the world has never seen on any scale.
And water becomes a political problem.
It becomes a huge problem for everyone. Yeah.